Well, last week we started discussing this important parable, and specifically we examined what the seed is and who the sower is. And we saw that the seed, as verse 11 makes very clear, is the Word of God, most specifically the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we saw that the sower is most primary Jesus himself, but we also discussed how Jesus commissions his true believers, his true followers, to also be sowers of the Word of God. And then we spent extensive time answering the question, what is the ultimate cause of the productivity of each soil? And we concluded that ultimately, the fruitfulness of a given soil is dependent on God. That the fruitfulness of a given soil is ultimately dependent on God. Well, today we will now be looking at each of the soils in greater detail. And so the outline for our message this morning is fairly straightforward. We will be examining first the hard path, the first soil, and then second we'll be looking at the rocky soil. Third, we'll be looking at the thorny soil. And lastly, we'll be looking at the good, fertile soil. And so let's begin by looking at the seed that falls along the path. Now, for each of these points, we'll start by reading the description of the soil from the parable, and then we'll jump down and read Jesus' explanation of that given soil. And so for the seed that is on the path, we will read verse 5, and then we'll jump down to verse 12. Okay? So all eyes back in the Bible, keep those Bibles open. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now hopping down to verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. We'll stop there. And so, given that we are explicitly told that the seed is the word of God, notice what happens to the seed that falls along the path. First, it says that it is trampled on, which could mean that the Word of God is mocked or even abused. We don't know for sure, since Jesus himself does not explicitly explain this part in verse 12, but it is at least plausible for us to say that the picture of the seed being trampled upon is that of it being mocked, of it being abused, that it could be understood in this light. Now, secondly, it says that the birds of the air devour the seed before it even has the chance to take root in the soil. And Jesus explains in verse 12 that this is the devil coming along to devour and take the word away. Now, what this reveals is that there is real spiritual warfare that happens when the word of God is proclaimed. The devil and his demons are on the prowl, looking to snatch away God's word before it takes root in someone's heart. They are enemies. Mark that. They are enemies of God and his word, and so they are looking to do anything to detract, distract, and dissuade people from even being receptive to the Word of God. The enemy may detract from God's Word by deceitfully indicating that the gospel might be good news for some, but not for everyone. And in saying so, he is detracting from the Word, he is devaluing the gospel, and so detracting the good news of the gospel away from someone's heart. or the enemy may distract a person from God's word by getting them to fix their attention on something, anything else other than the word of God. He will distract them from looking at something else until they forget God's word altogether. So this might be that the word is proclaimed to someone, but then they get distracted with sports or politics or a relationship, and then the devil distracts the person from receiving God's word. Or the enemy may dissuade someone by deceitfully telling some sort of lie to persuade the person from seriously considering the gospel. That lie could be something like, well, God clearly will let all people into heaven, won't he? God is a God of love, and so he will certainly save everyone. Now, in this type of example, and others like it, the devil tries to dissuade a person from seriously considering the good news of the gospel. Now, all of this is to say that the enemies and his minions are alive and active right now. They could be active at this very moment in this service. They are waging war, seeking to devour the seed of God's word from taking root in a person's heart. And the purpose of doing this is given at the end of verse 12. Let's take a look at verse 12 again. It says, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, and here it is, here's the purpose, so that they may not believe and be saved. The purpose for the devil snatching away the seed of God's word is in order that they may not believe the good news and be saved. In other words, the person's heart remains hardened and unresponsive to the gospel message. But let me clarify something here. Jesus does not say, he does not say that the devil hardened the person's heart. The soil, which again represents the person's heart, was already hardened to begin with. The word of God was given to someone whose heart was hard and was not receptive to the word of God. And as we concluded from last week, the condition of the soil of every person's heart is ultimately dependent on and determined by God. Therefore, the hardening of someone's heart is not ultimately determined by or caused by the devil. He does not have that sort of power. God may allow Satan to do things that would further harden someone's heart, but the devil cannot do that unless he is permitted by God. And so these people hear the word only, but it leads to no reflection, no contemplation, and no attraction to the message. Their hearts are already hardened to the word. They hear it and then they'd rather just watch football. They hear it and they'd rather just go out for a walk. And Jesus informs us that the enemy at times is permitted by God to bring about this sort of disinterest by snatching away the seed. Now, we've all encountered this sort of people. Maybe we have been this person in the past. I know that I've shared the gospel message with several friends, and their response has been, yeah, Christianity is something that I really want to look into, but I'm just really busy right now. Or others, after hearing the gospel message, say, I am so glad that Christianity works for you. I'm just so happy that you're so passionate about it. And you read between the lines, Christianity works for you, it doesn't work for me. The person with this type of soil is a person who has no interest in the good news and no desire to contemplate it or consider it. And the reason why is because their hearts are hard, just like the packed down soil on the path. And when you throw seed along the path, when you sow the seed of God's word on a hardened heart, the devil will look to snatch it up before it can take root. And so that's the first soil. The second soil in Jesus' parable is the rocky soil, which we will now turn our attention to. Let's read verses 6 and then jump down to verse 13. Verse 6, "And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture." Dropping down to verse 13, "And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no roots. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away." All right. Well, the picture that the parable paints is that of a seed planted on the rocky soil. And as the seed germinates, there is nowhere for the roots to grow. And with no roots, the plant is not able to draw up life-giving water or nutrients. And without those, the plant is not able to grow strong and withstand harsh environments or harsh conditions. And so, without any roots, the plant withers and dies. Now, Jesus explains in verse 13 that this describes a person who hears the word, but like a seed planted on the Rockies, on the rocky soil, the person has no roots. The person is receiving no life-giving water and no nourishment to cause it to grow and become strong to withstand the hardships of life. And so, the moment that trials and hardships come, he withers up and subsequently bears no fruit. Now notice that Jesus says that they receive the word with joy and believe it for a while, but then they fall away in a time of testing. I believe what this indicates is that the person's reception of the word of God was superficial. It was a surface level reception and understanding of the word, but it did not penetrate deep into their heart. It did not root itself in the person's heart. Their superficial reception of the good news meant that they could not endure the pressures of persecution. Or, said another way, the times of testing revealed that the person's faith was superficial, no matter how joyful they were when they first received the word of God. The trials of persecution reveals that this person is truly not committed to God and to his ways and to his purposes, and therefore they fall away from the faith instead of enduring. If they had been committed to God and his purposes above all things, then they would have endured. The fact that they fell away is evidence of their shallow belief and lack of real roots to ground them in harsh circumstances. Now, what might a person whose heart is like the rocky soil look like? Well, I'll give you one hypothetical example and then one real-life example. Suppose there's a man who attends church fairly regularly and is excited when he comes. And one day he gets bad news from his doctor that he has cancer. And as a result of such news, he stops going to church, because he simply cannot believe that God would do this to him. He's a good person who attends church. How could God allow this to happen to him? And though he was excited about church, once suffering entered into his life, he fell away and no longer follows Jesus. His reception of the word turned out to be superficial at best. Or take this real life example. There was a woman who really wanted to get baptized. She was very excited and had real joy in hearing the word of God. Her son, however, was not so happy about her walk with the Lord. He struggled with homosexuality and embraced it and the lifestyle 100%. And he made her feel awful for becoming a Christian and threatened that this would irrevocably damage and ruin her relationship with him if she went ahead and got baptized. So what will this woman do? Will she commit to God and his word, even though this may hurt her relationship with her son? Or will approving her son's sinful actions and maintaining that relationship be of greater importance than her commitment to God and his word? Tragically, as far as I'm aware, she never got baptized, and she no longer pursued Christ. At the heart of these examples is a lack of root. None of these people have developed any roots in God's word in order to nourish them, to grow and mature. Meaning, after their initial hearing of God's word, they have not drank of the living water that is Christ. They have not read the Bible and allowed it to shape and to form and challenge their lives. They have not received nourishment from God's word, which would prepare them for the trials and the hardships to come. They have not communed with God through prayer in order to sustain them through the tough times. And so because of their heart that is rocky soil, they did not, in fact, they cannot send their roots down deep into the living water, which is Christ. And because they have no root, they are not strong enough to withstand when the times of testing arrive. And they will wither under their hardship and leave the faith altogether. So that is the rocky soil. So far, not doing too good. The third soil in Jesus' parable is the thorny soil, which we'll now turn our attention to. Let's read verses 7 and then jump down to verse 14. Starting with verse 7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. Jumping down now to verse 14. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Okay, so the person whose heart is likened to the thorny soil is someone who hears and receives the word, but then the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life choke them out from growing and bearing fruit. Now, the thorns may represent a whole variety of things. They represent the cares and the pleasures of life. They are things like money, power, prestige, sex, sports, entertainment, relationship, the approval from other people, possessions, comfort, security, and the like. Now, none of these are bad in and of themselves, but they become problematic when they take the most prominent place in your life. That is, they hold your attention and your affection more than God does. And if these worldly concerns and riches take priority in your life, you will run to them for security and for comfort and for joy rather than running to God. And so when you feel insecure, you run to the approval of others or to relationships or to making more money in order to make yourself feel more secure. When you are stressed or overwhelmed, you run to other people or to entertainment to comfort you rather than God. When you feel of lack of joy, you run to money or sex or relationships to find that joy and make you feel better. The reality is that whatever holds top priority in your life will have influence over all the other aspects of your life, including your thoughts, your motives, and your actions. And so, for someone who is likened to the thorny soil, the cares, the concerns, the pleasures, the riches of the world dominate a person's thoughts and dictate their motives and their actions. And since these thorns have more prominence and more sway over someone's life, they choke out all other influences, namely, and most importantly, God's. Now, in this manner, one's excessive preoccupation with the cares and the pleasures of the world will suffocate one's spiritual reception of the gospel message. Now, something that I noticed for the first time studying this passage this week, after reading this passage a gazillion times in the 20 years that I've been a believer, so the first time I noticed this, notice what it says in verse 7, that the thorns grew up with the seed. Meaning, the thorns started out small, but then they grew, and they grew more and more and higher and higher. In other words, the choking of the plant is a gradual process. Not a sudden one. Just as thorns grow gradually, so the preoccupation with the cares and the pleasures and the riches of life grows gradually. And it continues to grow stronger and bigger, invading more and more into your headspace until eventually it chokes out all other concerns and cares. The seed sown among the thorns is a person who hears the word of God, but is never able to grow and bear fruit. That is, their fruit is not able to mature, as Jesus says in verse 14. They are not able to grow because the cares and the pleasures of the world are more important to them. They would rather be preoccupied with the world than to be preoccupied with God and His Word. They would rather follow their pleasures than follow Jesus. Now, before I move on to the fourth and final soil, which is the good soil, let me address something quickly. Many may read this passage and raise the question, well, with respect to the rocky soil and the thorny soil, is Jesus implying that someone can lose their salvation? there appears to be some reception of the word, and then they fall away, they believe for a while, and then they fall away. So is Jesus implying that someone can believe in the gospel and then lose their salvation? It's a great question, and one that, Lord willing, I will address next week. So, if you want to hear the answer to that question, you got to come back next week. See, there's just so much in this parable that it's just going to take time. So if you want that answer, come back next week. But for now, let's focus on the fourth soil, the good soil, the one that brings great joy. This is verse 8 and verse 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 8. And some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said, as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And now jumping down to verse 15. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Okay. The good soil is the good softened heart that receives the word of God, and it begins to germinate and grow and bear fruit for God. Of all the people described in the parable, this is the only one that is a genuine believer. Let that just sink in for a moment. The first three examples of people likened to three different types of soil hear the word. They all hear the word, but are not truly changed by it. The word that they heard never takes root in their heart so that they would grow and bear fruit for God. None of the first three soils are fruitful, which means none of them are saved. The person likened to the good soil, on the other hand, has shown evidence that the word of God has taken root in their heart because they bear fruit. His fruitfulness reveals that he has heard and trusted in the good news of the gospel. Now, just like the question of whether you can lose your salvation or not, next week we'll also get into the intricacies of what it means for someone to be, for the relationship between genuine faith in Christ and bearing fruit for Christ. Next week we'll get into that as well. But for now, it is sufficient to say that the fruitfulness of the fourth type of soil is the evidence of their genuine faith and trust in the good news of the gospel. And conversely, the lack of fruit bearing from the first three types of people is evidence that they are not believers. Now, besides bearing fruit, Jesus gives another characteristic of those who are like the good soil. He says in verse 15 that they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. Now, to hold fast to the word of God is to cling on to it, even when you face suffering or hard circumstances, like financial difficulties or chronic pain, depression, anxiety, loneliness. It's not letting go of the promises of God, even in the face of persecution and adversity, like being slandered behind your back by your family members because of your faith, or losing friendships because of what you believe, or being insulted or belittled or canceled because of your allegiance to Christ. You see, those who hold fast to the word of God are those who persevere in believing and trusting in God, no matter what the circumstances may be. This is markedly different from the other three soils, which decisively do not hold fast to the word of God. They ultimately reject the good news of the gospel in favor of something else, but not the good soil. The good soil holds fast to the good news of God's word, even in times of testing, and even when they are allured by the riches and the pleasures of this world. The fourth soil, which bears fruit, and notice Jesus says 100-fold, which for any of you gardeners out there, that's a lot. The fourth soil, which bears fruit, is the only soil to represent a genuine believer who has trusted in and who continues to hold fast to the good news of the gospel and therefore bears fruit for God. Only the good soil of believers bears fruit, while the soil of unbelievers bears no fruit. Let me very quickly close with four applications of this parable for us today. First, be faithful in proclaiming the word of God. Now, I know, I said this last week, but I felt compelled to say it again to make sure that it took root in your heart. If you are the good soil, that is, if you are a genuine believer, then Jesus commissions you to be a sower of the word of God. Do not neglect that mission. Ask God for help in how to share the gospel and how to tell others about your faith. Pray for opportunities. Don't forget that. Pray for opportunities to sow the word. And then take a risk. Take a risk and take the initiative by sharing God's word with others. Go out to lunch with someone. Talk with them over the phone. Exchange letters back and forth. Take a chance and take the initiative and start the conversation. And then, after you have sowed the word, pray again that God would water it, nourish it, and cause it to grow and bear fruit. Be faithful sowers of the word of God. Don't let fear or timidity prevent you from proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second, take heart that the word of God does not return empty, but accomplishes its purpose. Let me tell you, this has been a tremendous comfort to me in sharing the gospel. Jesus calls us to sow the seed of the gospel, but it is entirely up to God whether the seed takes root or not. God is the one who can cause the seed to grow and bear fruit. God is the one who can open their ears to hear the gospel message, receive it, repent of their sins, and be saved. That is not up to us. It is not based on how persuasive I am or how clearly and eloquently I present the gospel message. I cannot save anyone. God saves people. And so what this means is that we are called to faithfully share the gospel with all, and then we trust God with the results. We leave it in His very capable hands. Or to pull the language that God Himself uses in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11, which is what I read in the call to worship. The word of God that goes forth will not return empty, but will accomplish exactly what He purposes it to do. And let me be clear. What God purposes may be salvation through receiving, or his purpose may be judgment through rejecting his word. And that is very important for us to understand. God's word did not fail in the first three soils. Rather, it accomplished exactly what God intended for it to do. It accomplished its purpose of hardening their hearts to not truly believe in the word and bear fruit. God's word never, ever, ever fails. It always, 100% of the time, accomplishes exactly what God intends for it to do. Whether that purpose be salvation or judgment, softening or hardening, opening eyes or blinding them. And again, I bring this to our attention to encourage you in proclaiming God's word. It is not up to you whether they are saved or their hearts are softened or whether their eyes are opened. That is not up to you. Instead, well, let me say this. It is not even your responsibility, nor is it even within your power to be able to do any of those things. Instead, you are called to be an agent of God, God's agent whom he sends out to sow the word of God. That is what you are called to do. You are called to throw the seed of God's word. And then you trust our sovereign, all-powerful God to either open eyes or not, to soften hearts or not, to save or not. How freeing it is that our job is just to proclaim the good news of Jesus. That's it. And then God is the one who can take our feeble words, our stutter, our horrible examples, and he can use it to grow a beautiful oak of righteousness, who will then go and plant seeds for generations to come. The word of God does not return void, but accomplishes exactly what it purposes. And so therefore go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and trust God with the results. I think that was two. Three. It's hard to follow up that one. That should have been the fourth one. Three, be careful that you don't make worldly things more prominent in your life than God. As I mentioned earlier, many of the cares and concerns of this world are not inherently bad. What makes them bad is when we take them and elevate them to the status of top priority in our life. And so, when the cares and concerns and pleasures of life become bad things when we have an excessive preoccupation with them. And so my encouragement is to be careful with the pleasures and the cares and concerns of this life. Enjoy them responsibly and in the way that God ordains and allows them as written in his word. And be vigilant to not make them more prominent and more preeminent than God in your life. Number four, last one, hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to the word of God in good seasons and in bad seasons. In sunshine and in storms, and in times of joy and in times of despair, in times of strength and in times of weakness, in times of success and in times of failure, in times of abundance and in times of lack. Hold fast to the word of God. Read the word daily and cling to it as an anchor for your soul. Remind yourself often of the gospel message and the promises of God. Recite the word to yourself. No matter the circumstances, no matter the storm, cling to the word of God with all of your might. And your boat will not capsize. Trust in the word with all of your might and build your life upon it. So, church, of the four soils, the sobering reality is that there is only one soil who is a believer who bears fruit for God. If you are a believer here this morning with good soil, then hold fast to the word of God. Sow the word of God in the hearts of others and bear fruit for the Lord. And if you have one of the other soils, maybe you're here this morning and you realize that, or you're watching online and you have one of the other soils, then this is my encouragement for you this morning. Pray. Pray and ask for God to plow the soil of your heart and make it soft so that you would truly trust in the good news and be saved. If today you hear His voice as spoken through His word, do not harden your hearts. Only the good soil of believers bears fruit, while the soil of unbelievers bears no fruit. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Son. I thank you for Jesus Christ who came, who took on the sins of His people and died on the cross in order that those who truly trust in Him will be saved, saved from their sin, and saved from your wrath that you have toward our sin. And so, God, I pray that the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, would have made its way into good soil this morning. And I pray, God, that you would cause it to grow and bear fruit for your kingdom purposes. I thank you, God, for the comfort that your word does not return void. It never returns empty, but it accomplishes exactly with which you purpose it to do. And so, God, give us the courage and the boldness and the strength to open our mouths and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and not worry about the results, but to trust you with them. Help us, God, to be a people who sow your word and to hold fast to your word and to bear fruit according to your word. We love you, our King, and we ask these things, Christ Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.